Hello, everyone, and welcome to Managed Healthcare Executives' monthly What's on Your Mind podcast. In this podcast series, editors will check in with members of the Managed Healthcare Executive Editorial Advisory Board and ask them what's on their mind. Some of these topics will include the challenges they and their organizations are facing, the uphill battles, and the success stories, the short horizon, and the longer game. We're going to pick their brains to give our listeners valuable information and insight into healthcare today. Hello, listeners. Welcome to this month's episode where MHE Managing Editor Peter Werwein and myself, an editor of MHE, Brianna Contreras, picked the brain of President and CEO of Care Oregon, Eric Hunter, to see what's in fact on his mind when it comes to healthcare. Throughout our discussion, Peter and I got an idea of how enrollment went for Care Oregon this year, and were able to take a deeper look at the collaboration underway between Scan Health and Care Oregon. Our podcast is called, What's on Your Mind? The purpose is to try and talk to all of Managed Healthcare Executives Editorial Advisory Board members. So I guess the first question again, when you got up this morning and thought about, work and healthcare and maybe other thoughts, started to enter your consciousness, I guess if you can share what was on your mind.
No, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be with you and talk about sort of what's going on with us and sort of what's on my mind. And the top of it is all every day, every morning is our network, right? And the frailty of the network that we rely on to serve at Care Oregon over 500,000 people, right? And so that's not the system writ large, even for our tiny bit of it. The challenges are immense. And as creative as we want to be in programs and setting up ways to engage people and get them to a healthier state personally and in their communities, if we don't have the partners who can make that happen, then we're lost. And I think there are a lot of needs out there right now. So the workforce, the ability and availability that gives them access, whether it's hospitals or dental hygienists or psychiatrists or SUD vendors, transportation across the board, it's really a burden for our members and one that just makes life so much more difficult than it needs to be for them.
Eric, just to follow up on that, I think network and access has been an issue in Medicaid for a while,
Right.
And when I came into this, it was all a question that Medicaid just didn't pay enough, that the rates weren't high enough for providers to want to see Medicaid patients. Is that still sort of the fundamental problem, or are there other issues with finding providers to take care of your members?
I think that is still the primary issue, but in the past we were blessed with federal qualified health centers, right? Academic medical centers, people who are just passionate about serving the underserved, that we were able to have providers who would take those lower payments and serve Medicaid members. What's happened now with the overall contracting and shrinking of networks and available providers, those that are left have to take care of themselves. And that means getting the higher revenues from commercial plans or even less than that, but more than Medicaid, Medicare, and then finally Medicaid, because they have to keep their doors open as well. So I think it's really constricted the availability of folks who can take Medicaid patients as a part of their panel. That's substantial. They just don't have the manpower, the willpower, the bodies to be able to serve everyone that comes in, and so they have to prioritize. And I think that's where it's exacerbated the problem, I believe.
Is there any particular system in Oregon, that used to a major health system that used to take Medicaid and doesn't anymore? Is there a major player that sort of disappeared from your network?
Not from our network, no. I think we have been lucky in that the partners in Oregon are as committed as they've ever been. I think that's a testament to the fact that primarily Oregon providers and even systems are either local or at most regional. They've got a vested interest in Oregon being healthy. Most of the entities and players seeing Medicaid in our markets are not-for-profit or health hospital systems. And so we've not seen anybody sort of walk away, but they are challenged because, as we all know, hospitals in particular are just getting waylaid by the economy and what's going on right now. And so it's an extra burden for them to have entities or to deal with a large number of Medicaid patients on top of the challenges they already have financially. But everyone in Oregon is still fighting the good fight and doing the best we can. We just are constantly working together to try to find solutions.
So as you know, kind of changing a little bit, as you know, the continuous enrollment is winding down. So how is that going for Care Oregon? Maybe how many people are affected? Are people losing coverage? Are they migrating to exchange plans?
In Oregon, we've just started the process, April 1st, actually, of redetermining people. And I think Oregon has been very deliberate about the need to be smart about this, because even in Oregon, we're looking at all 1.5 million people needing to be redetermined and impacted over the next, obviously, 14 months. Of those, estimates are that around 17 to 20% of those individuals may fall off of the rolls at some point. That's a big number. That's a lot of people that will be impacted. Some will roll over onto the exchange plans. Others, because we've been working, I was on a task force actually with the state to create a bridge plan that will allow people between 138% of FPL and 200% of the poverty level that who are currently on Medicaid to actually stay on Medicaid and not move the exchange and expanded program. And then we'll eventually bring that entire population of 138 to 200 onto a part of the Medicaid CCO program. We've got coordinated care organization programs. And so we're definitely protecting those folks that are churning the most to keep them from even having to deal with the exchange at this point while we stabilize things. For Care Oregon, in the first 2 months of 2023, we've handled over almost 3,000 calls from members specifically asking about what's going on with redetermination. It's on people's the top of mind. And so what we're doing right now is supporting the state any way we can. The managed care companies have the ability now to gather updated addresses and send those onto the state, which is huge. So that's one of our main efforts right now, is making sure that we have the right contact information so that when members do need to get redetermination, they actually get their forms, they understand how to fill them out. And then we can work with them and community benefit organizations to say, here's how you get into the state, here's how you fill things out. Now let's keep it top of mind. So our efforts are really about making people aware of what's going on, getting updated contact information, and then working with our communities to get them into the system so they can keep their coverage.
Okay. Now, to jump to your merger with SCAN, can you kind of touch base on maybe where things stand with that organization and maybe how it came about? Did SCAN approach Care Oregon or vice versa?
Yeah, the deal with SCAN that we don't even necessarily refer to as a merger, we call it a combination, because I think different than traditional mergers where you'll have two companies who are disparate and doing their own thing that then are put together to create something brand new, that's not what we're doing here. We're working with SCAN to create an umbrella organization of sorts, right? A parent company called HealthRight Group, of which Care Oregon will be a subsidiary and the SCAN health plans will be subsidiaries, and we'll have a shared services division. We'll have an ancillary services division, but Care Oregon will continue to exist with our name and our mission and our board, our relationships and our communities as we've always had, just as a part of a larger organization. The entire conversation actually happened almost by accident, in that they had new leadership starting at SCAN right at the onset of COVID. Poor Sachin got the tough time to start. But one of the current SCAN board members was a former board member of Care Oregon who was on our board when I was hired. And when they brought Sachin in at SCAN, She knew that they were looking at being more aggressive and thinking about regional strategies. And she connected Sachin and I to talk about just what we had in common and share stories and best practices, because we had similar missions at our companies. And so this wasn't a financial transaction. This wasn't something that bankers brought across. And neither said, hey, you want to be a partner? It truly was a mission-based conversation about how we go about the business, the challenges we faced. And as we talked more and more, we realized that there was true alignment in complementary businesses. We don't overlap in services and geography. We're primarily Medicaid. They're primarily Medicare. They're in California now, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, or not New Mexico, Nevada, I'm sorry. We're in Oregon. And so there's no competition here. It truly is about creating something that will let us do things we couldn't do before. We've had challenges even in Oregon, where we're a major player, in that all the other partners that we work with or compete with are part of larger regional organizations. They have greater wherewithal than we do to do the technology challenges that are coming forward, to do the analytics, staffing, and finding the right people. We're at a disadvantage, and there's a challenge and problematic ability for us to keep up with the Joneses, frankly. And so we think through this affiliation and combination with SCAN to create HealthRight Group, we'll then have the ability to have better technology, to contract together and talk to vendors differently, to have greater opportunities for our staffs, to be more innovative in programs that we have that they want to implement, that they have that we want to implement. So I can ramble on about this because I'm excited about this combination, and we're going to do great things for people in Oregon and through the HealthRight Group outside of Oregon as well.
Eric, does the combination with SCAN mean that Care Oregon is looking to maybe get into providing insurance in the Medicare population or a different population? Or do you plan to stick with your Medicaid population?
Yeah, Care Oregon currently has Oregon's largest dual eligible Medicare Advantage population. So we've been in Medicare for 12 years now. We, until 3 years ago, had a straight MA product as well that we weren't particularly adept at, because our work in Medicare is directly tied to the work we do in Medicaid. I think with SCAN and their knowledge and HealthRight, we may reevaluate doing straight MA in Oregon again, because they've been a 4.5-star plan in Medicare for 6 years running. We're 3.5 stars, right? So that one extra star means a lot to members and the benefits that you can provide to them. And so those are the kind of things that will definitely come into play. You know, we're more looking at doing things that are programs and projects that we otherwise wouldn't do. You know, we may look at PACE programs, for example. We don't know that Care Oregon in and of ourselves have the experience, but it fits in the continuum of care and is important to us. If the state moves towards LTSS, SCAN has a lot of experience working with LTSS. And so it's those kinds of things that really excite us in bringing additional capabilities to what we can do to provide greater access to care in Oregon.
Forgive me. So you were in Medicare Advantage and stopped,
yes.
and this may means you'll return to Medicare Advantage? You're thinking about that?
We may. I think we were thinking about that even before the SCAN conversations. You know, when we got out, because the numbers didn't pencil out, and our straight MA population was fairly small, because we don't necessarily advertise it. It's not something we hang our hats on, and we've got multiple 5-star plans in our markets, so it didn't make a whole lot of sense for us. But if we believed that we could truly provide services and care to the Medicare population that was at the 4.5-5-star level, then it would fit into our ability to maintain continuity for members that we see that are aging in, that don't want to be in a duals program as they age in.
You referenced, analytics and technology maybe becoming available to you by virtue of the SCAN combination. Could you elaborate on that and maybe give us a concrete example? You know, people wave the flag of analytics and technology,
right,
and we all nod our heads.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering whether there's a particular project or problem where SCAN has some horsepower in analytics and technology that you see it sort of a near term possibility of accomplishing something.
Yeah, when I talk about the engagement and the growth in sort of particularly the IT space from the combination, it's less about either entity having sort of a market advantage over the other and how we do it now. It's about saying, you know, we've looked at our claims payment system for a while, right? They have as well. It would be nice to look at what's sort of best and brightest, what best in market now for those kinds of systems that will truly integrate all the care that we have, plus with our providers, and have sort of two-way communications, closed-loop systems. Those kinds of system implementations are incredibly expensive. And as big as we are, we don't have a lot of leverage with the organizations that provide those products. But together, we have much greater scale and scope to engage providers, and we would be able to basically split the costs as we approach building sort of the system that we both know we need to move forward. And I think it's more about that than sort of migrating one system or another from what we've already got. It's about the ability to do something new and bigger together, leverage analytics, you know, the actuaries, and being able to shift folks around, learning from them on how we put together value-based contracts, because they've got a lot of delegated agreements where we've got a lot of direct contracts, and then working with them to show them how we do direct care management, you know, for those new populations they have where they're not delegated. So it's more of that kind of thing that we're talking about.
So within the partnership or combination, you say, I guess, what is your role going to be? And I think more so for my curiosity, how far in effect is this combination? Or I guess where you guys stand right now?
Yeah, the process continues. We formally filed, I think, December 31st, believing there's a new process in Oregon, the Healthcare Mergers and Oversight Commission. That's we're really the first big test of that to the state. And so we're working with them on how that goes. So we continue to work that process. So we hope that sometime in the late summer, early fall, we can get to closing. But right now, the state is doing their due diligence to make sure, as we do, that, you know, this combination won't negatively impact Oregonians, right? Particularly Medicaid, Medicaid members, duals members, our providers, our communities. And so we're actively engaged in that process right now and answering their questions so they understand exactly what it is we're doing and how we will continue to support Oregonians, what will change and what won't change through the combination. As far as change, me personally, I will continue to be first and foremost the president and CEO of Care Oregon. The structure we've built will leave the Care Oregon management group, my team intact, our board intact. But we'll also start playing double duty, some of us. So four of the Care Oregon board members will join the HealthRight board to have direct input into how HealthRight, the parent organization, is going about its business. I will likewise be the president of the Medicaid division within HealthRight Group. So we'll have a Medicare division, a Medicaid division, like I said, a shared services and a sort of diversified businesses as well. And so I'll be part of the executive team at the HealthRight Group level, but primarily my job will be CEO of Care Oregon, primarily because we're the only Medicaid arm in HealthRight now, but that may change, right? And if it does, it wouldn't be through the Care Oregon vehicle. If we go and add another state into HealthRight, it would run parallel to Care Oregon, because we really believe in, particularly in Medicaid, that local community governance and priority setting. And so we'd want to make sure we maintain that. That's sort of the secret sauce of bringing organizations like ours and SCAN together, is that you don't have to sell your soul to be a part of something larger. You can enhance what you do. And I think that's really the beauty of the combination.
Awesome. Thank you. And this will help my last question I have for you, because you mentioned already Oregonians, correct? Is how you pronounce it?
Oregonians. Got it.
Okay. Oregonians. So into that, As you know, some people in Oregon have raised concerns about the deal and that it would be destabilizing, or it would make Care Oregon less responsive to local needs. So why is this partnership combination, why is it a good thing for Oregonians?
Yeah, you know, I think primarily one of the things that we've tried to do in putting this combination together and how we've structured the deal is that our first goal was to maintain the ability of Oregonians to make decisions on what's best for Oregonians, right? So that's why the Care Oregon Board will continue to exist, will continue to set the strategic goals, do strategic planning for Oregon, start the budget approval process for Oregon. That will happen at the Care Oregon Board even after combination closes. Our relationships with our coordinated care organizations will stay exactly the same. They will continue to have their own boards of directors and managing their affairs as subsidiaries of Care Oregon. They won't be directly attached to HealthRight groups. So we're actively maintaining those local governance relationships because, you know, the closer you get to the member, the better you understand what their needs are. You know, we're not saying nothing will change for us, but I think there'll be things that are transparent as much as possible to members and providers. As I said, we'll have shared resources, potentially. We'll have shared knowledge. We'll be able to start new programs, like I said, whether it's PACE or LTSS or how we do care for people on the homeless population. They've got great programs at SCAN that created a company to do healthcare for homeless seniors in the LA area. And we've talked to some local providers about maybe doing something similar here. They've got programs in expanding LGBTQ related services specifically. We've worked really closely with Cascades AIDS Project here to do similar things. So how do we learn from each other there? So it's those kind of things that I think will bring true value to Oregonians. But more than anything else, just want to remind people that we're specifically putting this deal together so that we maintain the mission, the culture, the community engagement of Care Oregon and our subsidiaries as we've always had, because that's really why we do this business.
You said you were kind of a guinea pig for this new oversight board about health.
Yes.
Yeah. So what is that? Is that a paper process only, or do you have to appear before and take questions in a public meeting from a body?
There may, right now it's a paper process, a lot of meetings with state regulators, an outside firm they've hired, DOJ, DCBS, the Oregon Health Authority, a number of entities that oversee, rightfully so, the work we do, because it's that important. We're all for the transparency of the process. They will determine whether or not we have to go out and actually do sort of public meetings on this or not. That is a possibility in the regulations, but we think that we're all about answering those questions, right? We believe in what we're doing. Our history speaks for itself and how we engage Oregonians and how we engage our communities, and we're more than happy to talk about it. I think the only thing we're pushing now is to get that clock running, is to move on, because there are a lot of things that we are ready to do together, things we want to talk about together, investments we want to make, programs and projects we want to flesh out, that because of obviously, antitrust rules, we can't get into details on. And so the longer this takes, the more pressure it puts on our providers, our members, our communities, understanding, okay, what's going on? How do we sort of dig into this? And so we're hoping the process doesn't take that much longer, but we believe the transparency is just critical in these kinds of things.
And sorry, just a point of information. You referenced that there was a particular board member who sort of was the matchmaker.
Yes.
Who was that person?
Colleen Kane. Her name is Colleen Kane. Yeah, okay. She was on our board, and her last year on our board at Care Oregon, she termed off, I guess, right after I started. So she was on the search committee that hired me. And so for always grateful to her for that, being part of that. And then she was on the SCAN board at the time and is still on the SCAN board 7 years later. So
are you facing any, Oregon, like those people coming up from California, are you facing any just sort of hackles up because this is a California outfit?
Oh, there's no doubt. I think that one of the first things I learned when I got to Oregon was how proud Oregon is of being Oregon. And in particular, the idea that decisions related to serving Oregon would be made anywhere else, California in particular. I sometimes remind people that the larger systems that provide care in Oregon are already part of regional entities. You know, our friends at Providence are based in Renton. Our friends in Kaiser are based in Oakland. You know, Regents is a multi-state organization. Pacific Source is a multi-state organization. So Legacy even has hospitals in multiple states. So I think that there has been more of that. So I think the key is, if you have those kind of connections, making sure that everything you build keeps Oregon front and center for decisions that are made and impacting Oregon. And we believe we've pulled together a combination that does that and respects that. But there's no doubt we hear about that California company, and that's we think we've picked the best and the brightest from California, so it should be good for us.
Just pivoting slightly, I'm just curious. We've been focusing on the scan deal. I think that's appropriate. But do you have an eye on anything happening nationally that's filtering down to Care Oregon, aside from redetermination, that's just, sort of an exogenous factor that you're sort of dealing with?
I think one of the most immediate is obviously sort of the latest Medicare, rules and some of those changes. We obviously have a lot of really high acuity members, and so making sure that they're coded properly is important to make sure we can provide the services they need. And so we're watching all that very closely. But really the big thing we're watching is the fact that for the longest time, as we talked about earlier, Medicaid is not, necessarily, high payments to providers and downstream. But when you look at the fact that Medicaid is now really the largest insurance program in the country, there's a lot of money in Medicaid, and a lot of the big players know that. A lot of them know that Oregon in particular is very generous in supporting our people in our state. And so they are looking at Oregon. They are sniffing around Oregon. Humana has decided to go all in on Medicare Advantage, right? That's a direct challenge to us. The Uniteds, the Centenes, the CVS Aetnas of the world have their sites on places like this, Amazon, Walmart. It's all of that really puts a little more emphasis on us talking about deals like we're doing with Health Right, because we will never be able to go toe-to-toe with those entities, right? But if we need to bid on our own, even to keep our own programs, if one of those entities bids and loses, there will be lawsuits for days and weeks and months. There will be technology. There will be report writers and grant writers flooding into the state. I mean, there are those challenges, and that's really what I'm keeping my eye on. It's not, we're proud of the work we do. We think we do it better than anybody else, frankly. I'll put that up against any other, even safety net health plan across the country. But there are limits to what you can do and stay competitive while still serving our mission. And that's more challenging. So we're watching them, and that's one of the things that says, let's get this on the road, so we can start building that infrastructure that lets us actually fight to compete, to serve the most vulnerable.
Sounds like you felt like you needed to get bigger because of some of these other players may start to come in.
There's no doubt. I think there's already a Centene plan in Oregon. They purchased a company called Trillium Community Health Plan a few years ago. And that group is now in the Portland Metro. And so that's where the bulk of Care Oregon's lives are. And that's a direct, it's a direct threat to what we do.
I'm sorry, what was the name of the plan that they bought?
Trillium Community Health Plan. And the Oregon market is such that there may be other plans in play, right? There are a number of them that are IPA owned when the program started. And how long will those IPAs want to take the risk of Medicaid managed care if someone offers them a good amount of money? So those are the kind of things that we're keeping an eye on.
Thanks for listening to this month's episode of Managed Healthcare Executives What's on Your Mind podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify, iHeart, and Apple Podcasts, and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.